art, comedy, pop culture, and much more. You're listening to ACPN.
Okay, here we go. Something,
we get to hijack your brain.
Okay, here we go. Hey, everybody. It is James Hatton.
Podcast Rob.
And it is time for another Top of the Month Original Style, Original Recipe, 13 Herbs and Spices episode of the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
We are in March, which means we are back to the top of the month.
We are.
You brought this topic to my attention, and I'm going to tell you, I have a rant about this topic. And so,
okay. Please,
back in the day of the internet, it was very easy to go. And as a note, we are part of the problem. You and I, this right here that we're doing right now, part of the problem.
I mean, that narrows it down so much.
Oh, I know. There's just bad there's bad entertainment. Back in the day of the internet, and I'm talking like GeoCities days, you could go to Ask Jeeves or your Metacrawler or whatever your du jour. And you could ask for a list of things, and you would get a webpage that like had a horrible background, so probably a spinning skull somewhere on the page. But you would get an exhaustive list that some basement dweller had like meticulously pored over. They have Usenet posts, and they have BBS forum posts because their cousin's friend's brother's dog told them. And it would be like gigs of text, well, not gigs, but megs of text of just lists. And now, the internet, being run by ADD monkeys, when you type in something like today's topic, you get 100 web pages of listicle slideshows, and 80% of them they cribbed from the other 20%. And it's exhausting when you're trying to like, wasn't this in that? Wasn't this person? Can I see a movie older than fucking 1994? So that said, I really like this topic, but trying to make my brain work towards things I had seen was not working well with me, given that the internet has the collective memory of the year 2000-ish. Like, that's when the brain of the internet starts, around 98, 99, because anything before then is gone to the old days, to the black days, the never coming back days. So yeah, I realized that as I was doing my notes for this. And it hurt my feelings a bit, because I was looking for, like, oh, just a huge exhaustive list. Carol Brady was in this, and etc. But thank you. I needed to get that off my chest. Hi, Rob.
Cool. So where can they find us?
If you have any questions about this episode, you can go to...
you can go to... www.revvoice.com/geocities23978845.
We're on Main Street, the best street in GeoCities. It punches that llama. Sorry. I realized it, and maybe it's because my medication kicked in right when I was doing my notes on this, but I was just so pissed off at, like, oh good, another fucking gawkery listicle EW site that doesn't actually give me information. It just says, hey, remember Matt Damon?
Yeah, it's always funny when we do lists like these, which is, you know, once a month. When, you know, and we, you know, we have our own ideas, like, hey, I'm thinking this, 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 and this, but let me see what else is out there that I may have missed or overlooked, mm-hmm. and see if I need to, like, rework my list. And you know, it's funny how many times it's always the extremes. It's here's 14 of the best, here's 12 of the best, and then the third one down is here's 465 of the best. Like, it's never like 20 or 30. It's always like here's two or here's a million. And when I start looking at the bigger lists, it's obvious that someone, and I don't know which is the chicken and which is the egg, right, but some of them realize we don't want to make it look like we just cribbed off somebody else's list and just redid it. Oh, so here's a list of 20. We're going to have 13 that are the same as this other list. Maybe we'll jumble up the order. And then we're going to have like 8 that nobody's ever fucking heard of. Like, even if you deep dive onto the internet, you will probably never find information about this. Yep. And we'll put in some sort of pithy little comment like, you know, we've never seen this movie. We just stumbled across this on the back of a bubblegum wrapper. Let us know if it's any good. And you're just like,
Or the other to that is, the caveat to that one is, or this one's a little bit of a cheat. We hope you'll let us get away with it.
Yeah. Like, we can't go back in time and slap you before you publish it. Like, you know, stop being fucking...
No matter how much we tried.
Yeah, stop being weak. The topic for today is our top cameos.
Yes. Small little necklaces from the steampunk and Baroque classical era. I find the brooch that Dame Judi Dench wears. Now, what we are obviously talking about, people who you don't expect in movies and such. And the other thing here is that the internet kind of doesn't know what a cameo is.
Yeah. Some of the lists that I had, it's like they listed it as a cameo and it's actually co-star. Like,
exactly.
If the movie's an hour and a half long and they're in 56 minutes of it, that's not a cameo. That is a actor in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I define cameo as unteased in trailers, sometimes, probably most of the time, but not always, uncredited, and like a complete surprise.
Yes, and has a moment, and I think there's an intent for that character to be, it doesn't always true this, the actor has an intent to be in the film for the audiences for a reason. Like, it isn't just like, oh, my buddy George Clooney was filming next door, so he decided he was going to put on armor too. That happens.
Sure.
But more often than not, you see that person and you go, oh, that's funny. It doesn't have to be part of the movie. It could be part of the meta, but there's usually an intent.
So I hope I don't ruin your list, but I want to give an example of somebody who's not on my list.
Sure, please.
Somebody did show up on a lot of lists that I was looking at was Glenn Close in Hook.
Right. I
don't consider that a cameo because if you didn't tell me that was her, I wouldn't fucking know that was her.
Hmm.
If they pulled a bar wench out and said, we're going to put her in the boo box, and it was Glenn Close dressed as a bar wench, and you could look at it and go, dude, that's good. Okay, I can take that as a cameo. But when she's like gender swapped and wearing beard and, you know, fake eye patch and everything else, and you see her for all of 6 seconds, I get it. But I don't consider that a cameo. Just like I don't consider, and his name is blanking on me now because this is too early in the morning to be doing this. The guy who played the most recent James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Yes. He was a stormtrooper in
yes.
one of the most recent Star Wars ones. I think it was Force Awakens. I think he had 3 words. I don't consider that a cameo. Because the only reason I knew that was his voice was because I had read that he played a stormtrooper and I was kind of listening out for his voice. Otherwise, never, like, I could have gone through the entire rest of my life never knowing that Daniel Craig was in that movie unless I was told. I don't consider that a cameo.
And I will go on the other side of that. And this one does sort of spoil one other thing for my list later. I don't consider Drew Barrymore a cameo from Scream. She was on the fucking posters.
Yeah, no, not at all.
The bait and switch in that was that she was on the posters and they kill her in the first 5 minutes. So it's really shocking because you don't expect it. And she was potentially the lead.
Right, but not a cameo.
But she wasn't cameo. It just so happened she was in the movie for a minute. And I think, given your definition, I think a couple of mine aren't going to pass muster. But that said, I guess that proves it's a bit of an open area. But I generally don't believe that if you go and well, you know what? Let's get into it instead of like trying to nickel and dime around the actual definition. But the fact is I think we agree that the internet's stupid.
Right.
Please start us off.
So I'm going to start us off with and again, this goes back to 92, like you said, basically right in the middle of the internet's brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... I like this cameo because it turned the assumption of why somebody was in the movie on its head.
Okay.
The movie is Wayne's World, and the cameo is from Alice Cooper.
Oh, that's a good one.
Number one, I love Alice Cooper music. I think it's awesome. I still have, you know, CDs of his because I'm an old man who shakes his fist at clouds and I own CDs.
Yes.
But I still listen to his stuff on the regular when I'm driving around for work. So the fact that, cool, they're going to an Alice Cooper concert. Great, fine. And then they go backstage, you actually get to meet him. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to an Alice Cooper concert. And this is where this scene is going to take place. It's another thing to have him actually be on the screen and be a little part of the movie. The killer was that, you know, they're here doing the whole we're not worthy to this absolute heavy metal rock god. And he starts talking about, you know, the basis and the Indian pronunciation of the name Milwaukee. And they're just like,
the Great Lake.
And they're having the same reaction. Garth and Wayne are having the same reaction as the audience at that point, which is like, okay, this is not what we expected, but it's still Alice Cooper. Okay. This is cool. So fun fact, he came onto the set thinking that he was going to be performing musically for the film. Hey, Alice Cooper, we want you in Wayne's World. Cool. Let me get my band. Let me get my guitar, my mic, the whole nine yards. He gets there, and they didn't realize that he didn't realize that he was actually going to have stuff to say.
Oh, that's funny.
He thought he was going there with one line, and they get there, and they hand him this script, which is basically a monologue, and they're like, here, memorize this. We're shooting in, like, 20 minutes. So he was like, okay. I mean, thankfully, dude legit is a history buff. So once he started reading what they needed him to memorize, it was fairly easy for him to choke it down and be able to regurgitate it for that scene.
I didn't know that about it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's where I'm going to start with. That, to me, is a cameo.
I agree wholly. And I think what's great about... Alice Cooper is, from everything I've heard about him, he is sort of the anti-Gene Simmons in that he is exceptionally intelligent and loves to just sort of sit and chat and very pleasant and not just trying to sell you things.
He's a legit good person, too, because yes, like 1,000%. Every holiday season, you'll see some pictures on social media posts where he'll like go out to soup kitchens and stuff and help feed the homeless and stuff.
Yeah.
Still in the Alice Cooper makeup, the hair, the eyes, the leather jacket, the gloves, the whole nine yards, but he's there spooning out, you know, soup and turkey meals and stuffing and everything.
Gene Simmons, on the other hand, is offering them discount on Kiss coffins.
Yeah.
Anyway, next, we will jump to my first one on top of the list. This is a comic book movie franchise in which I think is, you know, It's weird to say that I think it's underrated because I think maybe any comic book movie at this point is highly, highly rated. But I think the Spider-Man series, the new one, is the best of the comic verse that nobody is paying attention to as much as they're paying attention to, like, the mainline Doc Strange, Black Panther, Avengers, Captain America stuff.
We're speaking of No Way Home?
We're talking about Tom Holland, just that era. Oh, the Homecoming. Okay,
gotcha.
Yeah, Homecoming is the movie I'm going to be referencing, but I think the Tom Holland Spider-Man's, it took a minute, but they finally reached up beyond the original Tobey Maguire ones for me.
I'll agree.
They're gooder. But in the first one, there was one actor who for years wanted to be Spider-Man, and he wanted to be Miles Morales. He wanted to be the Black Spider-Man. It's a great comic book run by Bendis, and that is Donald Glover. I love Donald Glover. I think he's fucking awesome as a human. So he makes an appearance in Homecoming as sort of back way around. He would become the Prowler if they ever continue that route. But Miles Morales' uncle. But it's a brief minute, and it's a gift to him because by now he's too old to be Spider-Man. He's not gonna. And he's been the voice of Miles before.
Right.
But to have him in the Spider-Man movie, knowing that that was always sort of his dream to be Spider-Man, and have him sort of be a nod to the want for him to be in a Spider-Man film, I thought it was fucking beautiful. I thought it was wonderful. And so, yeah, my first one's Donald Glover in Homecoming. He's in there briefly, has a brief conversation with Holland, and off they go. In what is, if you've never seen Homecoming, go the fuck see it, because Michael Keaton will beat your shit up. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But I love Donald Glover, and I thought that was a great thank you to the fans, thank you to him, and nod to the fact that, like, look, in a different time, in a different way, we would have had him be here.
Very cool.
What you got?
So my next one is also based out of a Spider-Man, based out of a comic book and comic movie franchise.
Oh, all right.
It is not Spider-Man.
That's good because he's the title character.
Yeah, that would be funny. So this one's from 2011, a little bit more recent. I went with X-Men First Class.
Why?
Well, now, number one, I really like this movie. I don't care what people say about it. I really like it.
Okay.
The cameo is Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. When Magneto and Charles are going around talking to other potential mutants to kind of bring them into the fold, and they show up at a bar where Wolverine is sitting there smoking his cigar, and he's like, I'm Charles Xavier. I'm go fuck yourself. And he just kind of blows him off real quick.
Yeah.
It was great because, like, they set the movie up letting you know this is well before any of the events of any of the other X-Men movies that we had seen. So they're immediately giving you that kind of misdirection of don't expect any of the original people from the first two or three movies here. This is well before that. We're doing our own thing.
Don't and even then, expect characters you know.
Go right. On. And then, up, oh, hey. You know, to have Logan be there was kind of cool. The other thing that I love about it is that the line that he gave wasn't the line in the script.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the, everything that he says was, it was supposed to be fuck off.
Oh, okay.
The agreement was that if anybody is going to get to use the one bad that they get for the word fuck for, you know, to get their rating, it was going to be Wolverine. So the whole thing, every time they did this, it was fuck off. Yeah. Hi, I'm trying to get fuck off. Keep doing the takes. Finally, it got to the point where Hugh just kind of like flips it a little bit and gives them the go fuck yourself before they can actually finish completing their line. So when both Xavier and Magneto do the whole kind of okay, and kind of turn and leave, those were like legit reactions because they were not expecting that delivery from Hugh Jackman based on everything else that they had done before. Again, to me, great cameo. Because it fit in the universe, and mm-hmm. it tied everything together for what was to come in future movies, Days of Future Past, when they kind of mix, you know, the A group and the B group, and by that I mean the current group and the former group and the group right. to be, and the whole time jump mess bullshit that happened with that one.
Get out of my head, Charles!
Yeah.
Yep. I will say that that is probably the highlight of that whole movie for me. It is well established without me ranting about January Jones as the worst White Queen character ever and probably a bad actress in her own right. I don't need to rant about First Class and how it uses the worst parts of the X-Men verse of the last 20 years. I don't have to talk about that. I can agree that that is a very good cameo.
Hang on one second.
God, I hate that movie.
Note to self. Review X-Men
First Class. Oh, God damn it. We probably could do an X-Men episode of because
no. Yeah. We can't do one episode on the X-Men. That would be a we've already done a 4-hour episode on Lost. We're not doing one episode on X-Men.
Fair enough. Our new series. My next one is close. I think this one falls on like the outskirts of your definition, but I'm gonna let it pass because there was a lot of people who knew about it, so they were looking for it. One of the people whom I watch almost on the daily is Stephen Colbert. Like, for years, I was like, why do people watch Johnny Carson? Why do people watch David Letterman? Why do people... And then I got Mick, and you know, then I saw Conan O'Brien. I'm like, oh, it's because you need somebody who you get. And like, I've since come to like David Letterman. But Colbert, I've watched him and his career since The Daily Show, and he is by far the biggest Tolkien nerd that ever did nerd. He can just, like, recite Elvish poetry if you ask him. He's got one of the screen-used stings, I think. Like, him and Peter Jackson are buddies. Like, it's notorious how freaking Lord of the Rings nerd he is. And that all came about after the original trilogy had been filmed and to do a bit for his show, whichever show was on at the time. Peter Jackson invited him to come to New Zealand for Smaug. And he ended up in a brief moment, like it's blink and you miss it moment, in Hobbit. Now, it's not a named character. It's not in the credits. It's not like he might be listed as, you know, dwarf number 65432. But he, once it became known so that he got to do it and he could announce it, like all of the Colbert Nation was hunting for him. And it's, again, the camera pans and they're in the hall and it's him and he looks sort of bedraggled and dirty and dusty. And because Colbert always has such a sort of open and bright face, if you miss it, because he's kind of scowling, you miss it. But he's there. And for as much as I really... the Hobbit movies are okay, I guess. It is a treat that somebody who has such a love for the source material got to have that minute, that 1 second to be part of the legacy of something he loves so deeply. So I guess that's Glover and Colbert for me on that, but yeah, Stephen Colbert in The Hobbit: Desolation of Smaug.
Okay, I have not seen any of those movies yet, so it'll be interesting now knowing that to kind of be on the lookout for it.
You'll see them, and you'll have forgotten about them for pretty much everything except Bendy Bunch Bunderbun. The movies are forgettable. They're just long and plotting. But I don't like Tolkien, so...
Fair enough.
Colbert, where are you at?
So I am going to go to probably not only one of my, from the time frame this movie came out in, let me look up, when was this movie released? This was 1991. Hey, look at that. Again, right in the heart of the internet's memory. Yeah. We are both Ren Faire nerds. We have done our fair share of attending and working at. So right in the middle of 1991, there was a very awesome, for those Ren Faire people, movie that came out. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Mm-hmm. I almost put this as a twofer. Continue.
Yeah, so this was great. I'm talking about Sean Connery at the end when he comes in as King Arthur. Sean Connery.
Indeed.
This was great because not only was this a great cameo for this movie, but it became a great parody cameo when Men in Tights came out, because mm-hmm. everybody knew that they were going along the same storyline as Prince of Thieves. So then it became this whole kind of, oh, who are they going to get to be the stinger at the end for Men in Tights, where we get, you know, Jean-Luc Picard, basically.
Yeah. Of the USS Enterprise.
Yes. So this was one of those, again, wasn't credited, wasn't even teased, nothing in the movies, trailers or posters or anything, cool, and we're going along, and we go through this whole movie, and you can think what you want about the movie and about the floating accent and why that happened, because Costner's a douchebag. But we get to the end where him and Marion are about to get married, and all of a sudden it's hold. And everybody, like, legit people in a movie theater were just like,
they turn their head. What?
Wait, is that Sean Connery? And then he comes walking in. Absolutely it was. Now, the cool thing is he was offered to play Lord Loxley, Brian Blessed's really? Role. But he turned it down because he felt he'd been playing a lot of fathers in movies recently. So there was that. The other weird thing is that Connery was 61 when he played the cameo of King Richard, where historically in the year that the movie was being portrayed in, King Richard was actually 37. So there was that.
I had no idea that point right there. Nobody knew that except for people like us, and only half of the people like us.
Right. No, absolutely.
Because 100%. You think of, like, the king, and you go, ah, it's going to be an old stately man, like a Sean Connery type. Hey, look, there he is.
Oh, hey!
Yeah. And then Jean-Luc gets the It's Good to Be the King at the end of Men in Tights. It's so good.
Yeah.
And that was right at the heyday of Next Generation, so he was in everybody's head at the time, and he's always had this sort of weird connection with Connery in just delivery. They have similar deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Why are they always connected? Anyway.
I don't know. Now, Connery made $250,000.
Jesus.
For that cameo, which he donated to charity.
Oh, okay. Good on him.
But still, it was all of... I mean, I know in movie time it was a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But in real time, it was probably 4 hours worth of filming to get that done. Still not a bad gig.
No, it's good money if you can get it.
Yep.
My next one is one I didn't know about until I started to really deep dive, and this one I didn't know it, so it's not going to count under the Rob Law. It's Rob Law. This one though is so super neat. I have to go rewatch this movie for the blink and you miss it moment. But this is very much they were on set and they're big fans. So, you know, this is our first movie from the 70s.
Oh,
ooh. It is a little movie known as Clockwork Orange. And there is a cameo in Clockwork Orange that I found, I had to go and I found the scene, and unless you were told, you'd miss it, especially because it's 1971, so the film grain is a bit thicker. There is a sequence where Led Zeppelin is in Clockwork Orange. Were you aware of this?
I was not.
It's either at the very beginning or very end. Again, I have to go and see it, but when they're sitting in the milk bar, Led Zeppelin is sitting at a table drinking milk, probably at the beginning when we zoom in to the Droogs. But they are the collective group of dudes that are sitting right there at the table. They were huge Clockwork Orange fans. More than one of their songs makes allusions to it. Don't quote me on that. But I had no idea. and I read through a Reddit thread about this when I was looking for notes. I was like, oh my God, this is the first one that I actually give a shit, like, where I want to go back and rewatch the film and go find this moment and go see whether it's internet bullshit. Because right now somebody's going, that's not Led Zeppelin. That's been debunked for 20 years. And if that's true, please, at STCast, let us know. But that said, if it is true, I'm going to call it one of the biggest, best-kept secrets I've ever heard. Because that's super, super neat that at the time, 1971, the biggest rock band in the world is in a cameo in one of the most divisive films of the era. That's great. Love it.
Yeah, very cool.
We swing in a bat to you.
Yes. So this next movie, 2009. So we're getting to the Alzheimer's era of the internet's memory. I haven't seen the sequel to this movie yet, and I think I'm happier not having seen the sequel to this movie because sometimes they just don't work out well.
Sure.
But the movie is Zombieland, and the cameo is Bill Murray.
I mean, it's a classic. It's so good.
Yeah. It was, you know, I think it was one, it's one thing, I'm pretty sure there's a point where they mention when they go into the house that it was Bill Murray's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're hoping that scene is just going to, or that little comment is just going to kind of die on the vine. It's a little teaser. Great. We're in Hollywood. Cool. Oh, hey, I think this is Bill Murray's house. And then Bill Murray is still there. And the whole shtick is that he's done himself up like a zombie so he can still go out and golf without being attacked. But because he's dressed up like a zombie, mistakes were made. That whole thing after that was basically ad-libbed. Because he originally wasn't supposed to have any lines after he got shot. So the whole thing of, you know, Mr. Murray, I'm just Bill, I think, now. Oh, I don't think we're going to be able to stitch that. Yeah, that's still tender. Do you have any regrets? Garfield, maybe. Those were all, that whole thing was all ad-lib, which I thought was
And that line's still funny.
Right.
And that one's also really a great one because of sort of the world meta. Bill Murray has become sort of a legendary figure. Going to bars, no one will believe you type stories. I'm sure half of those are bullshit, but at least a couple of them are true. And he doesn't really do a whole shit ton. The things he does, you kind of go, he wants to do them or he's bored.
Right.
He just sort of lives his little life and go him for doing so. But to have him be the throw-off joke and then become a highlight, like it's the thing everybody was talking about going out of Zombieland.
Sure.
I also have not seen the sequel. But yeah, it's a great one. There's no way that wouldn't make this episode. So my next one, I'm going to call it a twofer. It's not really because I think the first part of this doesn't count as much as the second one. But I love the Young Guns movies.
Okay.
I have their cowboy schlock, their popcorn. They are super fun, but they are, you know, they are what they are. In one of the sequences, and this is sort of the throw-off one, Tom Cruise is a gunman who gets shot. He was just there hanging out with Emilio Estevez or whomever, and he gets shot, and that's that. But the title song of Young Guns 2, a favorite of both of ours, Blaze of Glory, John Bon Jovi is, in fact, in Young Guns 2. He's a guy in the bottom of, a pit? I think he's in the jail, the pit jail. And later in the movie, he gets shot, and it is quite literally shot through the heart. And I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know whether they made that as a joke, like, haha, we're shooting John Bon Jovi in the heart. But the idea that John Bon Jovi, the singer of Blaze of Glory from Young Guns 2, is a cameo in the film all sort of ties together for me in a beautiful, wonderful way. So, I really don't have much more to say about it than that, other than
I
love
knew,
the fact that he's
I knew
in
Bon
it.
Jovi. He was actually my honorable mention in this movie.
Very good.
I did not know about Tom Cruise. Apparently, Tom Cruise has a quick cameo in both movies.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
But the Bon Jovi one, I did know. I'm fairly certain that when they are climbing out of the pit escaping, the first person to get shot is Bon Jovi.
Pretty sure that sounds right.
That was the scene.
We do that the exact same way at this point. After years of this show, we both go, the same way.
Yeah.
I remember I was friends with a kid. I saw that. I saw Young Guns 2 in the theater. And my buddy, who is a huge rocker guy. I was in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "That's Bon Jovi!" Like in the middle of the theater. It was fun. So there you go, Young Guns.
Yeah, you can actually find a clip of it on... actually, I stand mistaken. I'm sorry. Because I'm actually looking at a clip of it right now. It is when they come up out of the pit. He is not the person who gets shot that I'm seeing. But he is one of the grungy people who are keeping one dude at bay before he gets kind of garroted. But anyway, doesn't matter. He's in the movie. Tom Cruise in the movie. Everybody's in the movie.
Everybody's in the damn movie.
Everybody's in the goddamn movie.
What do you got?
So, for my last and final one, I'm going to consider it a cameo, even though it does not happen during the movie.
See, every list has the cheater. Go ahead.
However, if it weren't for this cameo, then an entire franchise juggernaut would never have happened.
Ooh. Go on.
I'm not going to look it up. I'm going from memory, but I believe there was only one line involved in this cameo. And the line was, "I would like to speak with you about the Avengers Initiative."
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for Samuel L. Jackson showing up as a cameo in the post-credit stinger of Iron Man, there is a very good chance that we never would have gotten the Avengers movie and everything that came afterwards and the 10 years of, I will say it, MCU dominance in superhero movies for the next decade.
And the most amazing thing about that bit is it could have been if that movie hadn't done well, or like they couldn't get the rights, or some silliness, like some whatever transpired, that still would have been a great moment, a great cameo. It like dreams and dream booking forever based on that 1 second. But because it all worked out, like here we are.
Oh sure, it would have made. It would have made for amazing headcanon for all the Marvel fans, in the same way that there's, I'll say, too much headcanon about what happened to, you know, Boba Fett in all the movies and everything. But yeah, it would have just been that quick throwaway, and then everybody would have made up their own opinions about what happened, but instead, we got what happened. Which I think is the far better option.
Oh, thoroughly. 20 years of reasonably almost all above B grade movies. I think there's a couple C pluses, but like generally great movies, and our childhoods come to life on the big screen because we are now post internet man children. My final one is a movie back in 1993, and this is, you know, it's from a type of movie that is notorious for having cameos, in so much as, like, if you pay attention to the backgrounds of any of these movies, there's always somebody, because actors love to be a background character in a schlocky, funny comedy, your Airplanes and whatnot. this one is Hot Shots, and specifically Hot Shots Part D. There is a moment where Charlie Sheen is on a riverboat and he's rolling down and he's doing sort of a voiceover commentary, and it's his lines from Predator? Like maybe Predator. Anyway, whatever movie it is. At the same time as another voiceover comes in, and it's the voiceover from Apocalypse Now, and coming down the other way, down, did I say Predator? I'm such an idiot. It's Martin Sheen, his father. So, like, there's triple things here. They both do cameos in Vietnam movies. They're both on riverboats in the exact same way. They're both doing their voiceover from those respective movies. And they both, they're father and son. And they both stand up and they look at each other and say in fucking stereo, I loved you in Wall Street.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It's so freaking good. Platoon, not Predator. That's what I couldn't remember. Thank you.
Yeah, not Predator at all.
Predator. Good Christ. But the idea that, like, there's six layers to how funny that joke is, it's almost art at how many levels that joke works. I busted a gut laughing the first time I saw it. Just because, like, every time you see it, there's another angle to it. The Vietnam movies, the riverboat, that's the only spot that Martin Sheen's in it. Blink and you miss it. He's there, he's gone. But it's memorable. It might be top memorable moment in that film.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. The Hotshot movies, they're fucking good.
They are. They're fun.
Like, they're... It almost feels like the whole... Okay, so Not Another Teen Movie was a fun movie. But then those kind of spun off their own thing, like, Not Another Disaster Movie, Not Another... And, like, those just completely went down the toilet really quick.
Yeah.
But when you, those type of movies that parody multiple other movies and genre types within that movie, when they're done well... They're really fucking good. And both of those Hotshot movies were done really fucking good. Like, really well.
Yeah. I mean,
there are still great scenes. Like, when he's walking along the beach with the love interest chick, I think it's the first one. And she's like, you don't have to live under the shadow of your father. And he goes, of course I do. I look like him. I even have my father's eyes. And he just pulls out an eyeglass case and opens it. Like, you don't get to see inside it, but he's obviously showing her the inside of the eyeglass case and then closes it and just puts it back in his pocket, and he completely deadpans it, and it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And I still use the joke, are you trying to be funny? No, of course, if I was trying to be funny, I would say, what do you do with an elephant with three balls? What do you do with an elephant with three balls? You walk him and you pitch to the rhino. And then you just keep going on with your regular serious conversation, and people are still trying to process that, like, 5 seconds behind the conversation that you're actually having. Great fucking stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, the guy who did, Jim Abrams, did a litany of what we look at as, like, that type of movie. It's a Jim Abrams movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That style of comedy, that sort of... everybody in the movie is playing it straight, but they're all cornballs. Police Squad, Airplane, Top Secret. Like, they're all from the same brain. And I agree. I think the Hot Shots movies are highly missed. The people don't talk about them enough. They're so good.
Good stuff.
Very good. I stole your honorable mention, didn't I?
That's fine.
Well,
do you have an honorable mention?
I do. I got one. I'm going to make it a quickie because I mentioned Scream at the top of the show. And in Scream 4... So each one of the Scream movies has that little moment at the beginning, like, who's the famous person right here? And it's Drew Barrymore in the first one, and then Jada Pinkett Smith. At the beginning of Scream 4, they were like, all right, we're going to push all in, and there's, like, six of them in a meta. So the list is...
Oh, is this... The chick who played Sookie Stackhouse and...
Yes.
And, Go on.
Yep. So we're watching Scream. I'm not going to remember which movies they're watching, but, like, one of them's watching Stab 5, and then after they get killed by Ghostface or whatever, they're now, it's the people that were watching them get killed in Stab 6, and then we back out, and now we're watching the people who are watching them get stabbed, who are watching them get stabbed in Stab. But you go, like, three levels deep before you're in the actual movie. Shyna Grimes, Lucy Hale, Kristen Bell, Anna Paquin. And I think there's another layer that's actually not even listed here, but for movies that are so self-aware as to their place in horrordom, the idea by Scream 4 they are now mocking the way they did Scream 2 is very funny to me. And to grab a whole litany of what we'll call, you know, A-list actresses that we would see in a movie like Scream, just one after the other, all pretty, you know, all pretty women getting slaughtered as we zoom out to the actual film, I thought was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I actually found Scream 4 kind of entertaining.
Yeah, it's not the best one, but it's fun.
For what it was. But it is always good when a movie can kind of look at its franchise / legacy in its own mirror and be able to poke fun at things about it. And that was a very cool sequence.
So that's what I got. Do you have anything you want to throw in on this?
No, I'm pretty good, actually.
Well, then I think we should ask the audience right now, what did we miss? What did we get wrong? What is actually a cameo? What have we said that is not a cameo? What's your favorite brooch from 1900s? Where can they tell us, Rob?
You can find everything about us over at somethingcast.com, the repository for all things something. You can find our Twitter handle at STSTcast. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/somethingsomethingcast. Email us at somethingsomethingcast.com. Quickest and easiest way is to hit us on the Twitter handle at STSTcast. We are very active on Twitter. Let us know what your favorite cameos were. There's plenty that we missed. I mean,
oh my God.
We're not even insinuating in the whole, tell us what we missed. Don't tell us what we missed. We know we've missed a shit ton. But you can tell us what your favorite cameos are, and if you agree with what our choices were, and if our choices were cameos or not.
And to add to that, you can also tell us where to find the old internet, the good internet, because I miss it.
Do you really?
Kinda.
Dial up and DSL and...
I just...
Get off the phone!
Mom, I'm downloading porn!
I don't think we needed all that.
I mean...
Somebody somewhere, if there are private vanilla WoW servers that are still existing, and you know, fucking Quake Arena servers that people are running on their, you know, fucking DS2 66s, I am sure somewhere somebody has a server in their dusty basement that has like 4,000 fucking GeoCity pages on it.
Oh, I got one better for you, and... You can download all of GeoCities.
Onto your phone.
Well, yes, because it's right before they closed it down, somebody archived it. They sent like a web crawler to all the public pages. And I swear to God, it's like 2 gigs or you know, maybe a bit more, but it's not a lot.
The entirety of GeoCity fits on a floppy disk, which ironically, you can't even use in computers now. That's like the ultimate double meta.
Yeah, it really is.
The entirety of the universe is saved on this floppy disk.
One day I'll write a list about the things that my stepkid says that makes me feel old. I'll give you the brief one. Last night we watched Roger Rabbit, and she goes, so did they make this because they used, what is it, the spinning flappy thing? And I was like, film? She goes, yeah.
The spinny floppy. That's awesome. That's funny.
Didn't know what film was.
That's funny.
I'm James Atten.
I'm Podcast Rob.
See you on Dial-Up.
Later.
Something, 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 something.
Okay, here we go.